The 49ers are mired in a one-game losing streak. My dad and I will discuss what that means and more next on the Cone Zone. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Cone Zone presented by Sleeper. That's the ultimate sleeper. Lowell Cone, my dad, I'm Grant Cone. Today we're going to do things a little bit different. My dad's going to be the host today. So take it away.
All right. The Niners got beat on Sunday. We need to talk about that a little. I have a question. What does the loss to the Vikings mean? I was an English teacher. What does this poem mean? What does this loss mean? As a way to enter the topic, Iggy, what did it reveal about the Niners that particular day against the Vikings?
Well, that particular day, Sam Darnold was better than Brock Purdy. That's one, which was surprising. That particular day, Kevin O'Connell and Brian Flores were better than Kyle Shanahan and Nick Sorensen. And considering the Niners played there last year and lost by almost the exact same score, it seems like if the Niners were to have to face the Vikings in the playoffs in Minnesota, that'd be rough. So those things.
Okay. Does the loss have an overall meaning?
It may. Down the line, maybe we'll see that certain things were revealed in this game, but like losing one game in September and falling to 1-1 doesn't mean it's the end of the world.
That's how I feel. I've been reading and hearing a lot of stuff like, oh my God, they lost. Sorry, I'm coughing, guys. It's cold down here. I'm taking a cough drop. Oh my God, they lost to these guys. They lost to Sam Darnold, blah, 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 blah. They've had seasons where they got off to bad starts and got off to starts with losing records. In addition, I imagine they thought they'd lose a game, one game at least this season. So I don't find this to have an overall meaning that you can project after two games. Now, some things concern me. Six sacks is very concerning, and it would indicate, or would it seem to indicate, that the offensive line is very good at run blocking. I mean, it's really good at run blocking, but not so good at pass protection. And it would also seem to imply that Brock Purdy is a somewhat mobile quarterback, but if there's a lot of pressure on him, he does have trouble getting away. A lot of quarterbacks do. I thought the offensive line would do better, although they don't invest money in it. And I thought Purdy would be a little more elusive, and it surprised me that he wasn't. So that was one of the things that concerned me. Another was that Ayuk was almost like phoned it in.
Yeah,
he almost was a non-factor. And I think it's very amusing, ironic, after he kvetches that he's not being respected, and then he gets way more money than he's worth. What do you have, four catches, Iggy?
Yeah.
Well, that's not a hell of a lot of catches, and that's not taking over a game. Now, Kyle said he was open, and the guy threw to other people. Maybe. So that kind of got me too. The other is, and this really got me, the Vikings' number two running back, not the number one, the number two, had an easy time against that defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a really easy time running against it. Bosa had two sacks, but where is he about stopping the run?
Yeah.
Where are all those guys that's stopping the run? I would say they got beat up. The Niners got beat up in that game. The other team was not only smarter, it was tougher. Mm-hmm. So a lot of those things are troubling. Having said that, I still think the Niners are really a quality outfit. I do. And I think to say that they're screwed after one loss, a bad loss, because the loss was worse than the score. The guy fumbled at the goal line. The loss was worse than the score. They got beat up. But to say that they're screwed or their season is in peril after one loss would be way of an overreaction. Do you think I'm being too gentle on them?
No, I don't think anyone's saying they're screwed or their season's in peril. I think we've all been looking at them all offseason and thinking, is this the year? Because it feels like they're getting older and their Super Bowl window is shutting and that this has got to be the year. They came so close last year. Some people felt that on paper, this team is even better than last year. But they go into Minnesota and lose again to that team. And this time it's not Kirk Cousins. It's Sam Darnold. It's the same result. And now Christian McCaffrey's been hurt, but now Deebo Samuel gets hurt too. And you're looking, it's like, is this team getting old?
Really?
Does this feel like the year they're going to win the Super Bowl? Like maybe, but yeah. The Vikings look like a better team than them right now.
They certainly did on Sunday. I don't know if they're a better team against the league. I'm not ready to make any judgments like that.
They're not more talented than the Niners. They just looked better coached.
They sure did. They looked hungrier, better coached, and tougher.
Yeah.
Tougher bunch of guys.
Mm-hmm. On paper, the Niners are the best team in the league, but anyway.
But
it's not on paper. And boy, now they're really hurt. And now they have a lot to prove without Deebo and Christian on the field at the same time.
Well, we'll get into that in a minute. They are really hurt. What I was going to say, with the holdouts of the two guys who held out, the left tackle and the overrated wide receiver, and McCaffrey getting hurt, and now Deebo getting hurt, Iggy, their season, it's almost like in a play or a novel when all the portents are not good. Mm-hmm. That, and some of them aren't their fault. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying it feels like almost that the football universe is said, you've had your chance. Now we're going to conspire against you. There's almost that feeling. But again, it's only two games, and it could turn out that the Niners go 16-1 and they win the Super Bowl, and Kyle Shanahan is indeed a great coach, and we've underrated him. It's way too early to write them off.
No one's writing them off. I think it's also important to remember that most of these guys didn't play in the preseason, the good starters in the team. And so this is sort of like the preseason for them right now. And they'll get better. The question is, how many players will they lose to injury because they weren't quite in football shape before they pull out of it? And we know the Niners are going to go on a run this year unless they're totally decimated. But the only times they've gone to the Super Bowl is when they played the NFC Championship game at home under Kyle Shanahan. So they lost an NFC game to a team that looks like it's going to be really good this year. So it's not great, but it's not the end of the world.
Iggy, who's a better quarterback, Brock Purdy or Sam Darnold?
Brock Purdy.
Why?
Because at least until this game, I felt that Brock Purdy had a better ability to make play, like positive plays on his own. Spinning away from pressure, get away from a sack, create a play that's outside of the design. I used to think that when Darnold tried to do that, he was a disaster waiting to happen. You had to sort of like tell him to do less, where Purdy, you could trust him to do more. But in this game, I mean, Darnold was the one scrambling. Darnold was the one that made the big throw down the field. Purdy looked like Jimmy in this game.
That 97-yard touchdown pass, Purdy cannot make that throw, Iggy. I think he's a better quarterback. Don't get me wrong. If I'm choosing up, I want Purdy, not Darnold. Purdy cannot make that throw. And there is no receiver on the Niners who can make that catch and bring it for a touchdown, cut across the field. Jefferson is that much better than anyone the Niners have.
Absolutely. My ball, Zach Ertz, says, I use the promo code. I better get my jersey. If you want to sign Ricky Pearsall jersey, use promo code CONE on the Sleeper app. Chris Groves says, what's up, Grant and Lowell? Wanted to tell you that on Sunday morning, Jeff Manns on Fantasy Sports Radio gave you a shout out on how great of a journalist you are. Love the show. Love you guys. Thank you, Jeff Manns.
Thank you.
Was he talking about my dad?
I think he's talking about you.
Herbie Hancock. Herbie Holland says, Grant, love your dad. Grew up on Lowell Cohn and Ira Miller. Best in the business. And you are getting there. Thank you. Keep doing what you're doing, Grant. Love your content. This coming from an old guy. Thanks, Herbie.
Old guy. I was just in Montreal, Canada with Ira Miller. I just got back late Saturday night. Ira and I are great friends, and we had a wonderful time in Montreal together.
Yeah, so, how about that? Fish and chips. Hi, Lowell. I don't want Kyle Shanahan passing Bill Walsh 10-year reign. Can you imagine Kyle Shanahan coaching this team longer than Bill Walsh did?
Yeah. I don't think Bill has anything to worry about where Kyle is concerned.
DeMarcus Jones says, should the Dolphins trade for Trey Lance?
Not my problem.
No, I don't think they should trade for a project. MM Forever says, Brandon Staley, Chargers is destroying the Niners, period. Brandon Staley. Well, the Niners defense didn't look great in this game. Herbie Holland says, we will now see if Brock Purdy is a franchise quarterback and if Kyle Shanahan can coach some football. What do you think about that, Dan?
I think it leads us into our next topic.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Okay. If the 49ers lose to the Rams, I am not saying they're going to lose to the Rams. In fact, I think they're going to beat the Rams. This is a hypothetical. If they lose to the Rams, will the injuries to McCaffrey and Debo be a legitimate excuse? We would have won, but those guys weren't playing, and it's not fair. And if those guys were playing, we would have won. That's making an excuse. Is it a valid excuse if they lose to the Rams, who are in danger of going 0-3 right now?
Iggy, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Tell me why.
They have a lot of good players who are healthy still. A lot of good players who are healthy still, and the Rams are even more injured. Cooper Kupp is going to go on IR. Puka Nacua is already on IR. Their starting tight end is on PUP. Three of their starting offensive linemen are on IR. Two of their corners are on IR. Like, they're a mess. And you know, it's funny. Sean McVay's whole thing is not playing any of his starters during preseason. That's backfiring because all of them are hurt now and none of them are prepared to play football. So this is a great opportunity. For example, we're going to rank the teams in the NFC West a little later in the show. And we're not, no spoilers, but Arizona Cardinals look good. Are they better than the Niners? Probably no one would say that right now. They just beat, as you know, the Rams by 31 points. So the Niners should be expected to at least win.
I'm picking them to win.
Yeah.
Iggy, Kupp and Nacua are both on IR?
If Kupp isn't yet, he's going. He's on his way.
And Nacua is?
Yes.
Boy, they have bigger problems than the 49ers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to come back to the topic. Let's pretend they're going to lose, even though the Rams are more beat up than they are. And if you're going to use injuries as an excuse, they have a bigger excuse. But the Niners could say, Niner fans, the Niners never would say. Niner fans could say, yeah, you know, we didn't have Debo, and we needed him because we needed another running back who does what he does when he plays running back. And CMC, the whole offense goes through him. It's just really too bad. I agree with you. Those are not excuses. First of all, they still have a hell of a lot of good players. They still have George Kittle. They still have Ayuk, who they should really go to in this game. Juwan Jennings is a very good wide receiver. They still have the best so-called fullback in the league, who can catch passes, Iggy. He can catch passes. Who else they got?
How about that running back?
Oh, Jordan Mason. Oh, what a talent.
Yeah. That's five guys on offense. The Raiders would be so lucky to have. I mean, a lot of teams would be lucky to have that collection of talent.
God, do I love Jordan Mason. What a running back. Anyway, here's what I want to say. Football is, you take your 22 guys who are available, I'll take my 22 guys, and we'll play a game. Mm-hmm. Forget about injuries. The only injury that can be a legitimate excuse is the starting quarterback. Generally, if you lose your starting quarterback, you're screwed. And everybody knows that. If the Niners were to lose Brock Purdy, forget the season. Mm-hmm. Forget it. They don't have anybody there who's going to take them into the deep in the playoffs or even into the playoffs.
Like what just happened to Miami? I mean, they're done.
I think they're done.
Done.
I don't know if this poor kid should ever even play again. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Will he be out the rest of the season, Iggy?
I don't know.
Who knows? But yeah, I think they're done. So what I say is, with the exception of losing your starting quarterback, everything else is not an excuse. The answer to it is coaching. You don't have McCaffrey. You don't have Deebo Samuel. You're allegedly the most brilliant coach in the league. Now you have to be a coach. Now you have to figure out, how am I going to beat these decimated Rams with only five great players? And it comes down to coaching. So what this game is about, football games are about a million things. But one of the things it's about is, can the coach coach?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Can he get around the loss of these two wonderful players? And my feeling is that's his job.
Yeah, especially a genius like him. You have more than enough talent. You had an embarrassment of riches, to use a terrible cliche before, but now you have more than enough talent for your genius to shine through. I think it's really interesting that you framed it as a test of Kyle, because I think most media members, local and national, will frame this as a test of Brock. Like, let's see what Brock can do now that he doesn't have all these all pros around him, which to me is like, yeah, I guess I'd like to see that too. But I think
yes,
Kyle has more to prove. They both do.
I think topic one is Kyle. Topic two is Brock Purdy. He needs to perform. He needs to show he can perform without, an all-time great player at every position. But the coach, he's right now sitting down and making his game plan. Right now. That's what he's doing.
I agree.
And he needs to make a game plan that's a hell of a game plan and features people who are really good and compensates for the loss of good players, because every team loses good players.
Yeah.
It's part of the game. And that's what Kyle said in his presser on Monday.
Yeah. I haven't really liked the way Brock Purdy's played this year. I feel like he's been a little robotic and stationary. And I'd like to see him be more of an athlete. I mean, scramble. He won the NFC Championship game last year. He ran for 58 yards. Those were huge plays. I'd like to see him do that again, because he can do it. If he just stands in one place and tries to win, I don't think he's a particularly special quarterback.
Iggy, is it possible that Kyle is making him robotic the same as he did to Jimmy?
Yeah, that's how I feel. That's kind of what I'm looking at with this team right now. Kyle did that to Jimmy. When Jimmy first got here, he liked to ad lib. He seemed like a very confident quarterback, and he didn't need to know Kyle Shanahan's offense inside and out. But as he got bogged down by it over time, and Kyle Shanahan, coached him more and more, it seemed like he became more and more of a stationary robot who was, not as invested in the offense. Like, when things went wrong, he would turn to Kyle and say, like, your plays freaking suck.
He said that. Your plays suck. Also, he became much more injury prone.
Yes, he did.
Because they knew where to find him.
Yes, he did.
When he first came, I think people may forget how excited the Bay Area was to have him, because he seemed really dynamic. Like, this is the anointed one. Mm-hmm. It's hard to remember that, but he really was. And in his own way, so was Brock Purdy. But I agree, Iggy. He's beginning to look standard, ordinary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not good when Sam Darnold looks better than him on the same field. That's not good.
No, because Sam Darnold is not that great.
No.
He throws a lot of picks. Mm-hmm. Sometimes looks confused.
He's trying to be a good game manager right now at this point in his career. Trying.
Yeah, trying.
Trying. And he's doing a good job this year, to his credit. But it's not like he's in the MVP consideration.
No.
No.
Nor is it like Brock Purdy's in the MVP consideration.
Not even close. But last year he was not only did he finish fourth in the MVP voting, but he led the league in passer rating. Now he's ninth.
Okay. So yeah. What we're saying is, if and when the Niners beat the Rams on Sunday, they're going to need inspired games from Kyle and Brock. I think they can get them, but that's the challenge. I'm not guaranteeing they're going to get them. That's the challenge.
And I think the Niners need to sort of like find a new identity for their offense in this game. Because for the last 3 years, so much of their offense has gone through Debo and Christian. Yards after the catch, short throws. What is their offense now? I mean, you have a running back who's averaging 5 yards a carry. That's a good start. You have one of the best tight ends of his generation. You got a couple of really good wide receivers. Let's see something. Kyle, like what is the identity? How are you going to feature people? It seems like this would be a great week to actually use Kittle as the go-to guy that he always has been. Can you imagine how much he would get the ball if Bill Walsh were the coach or Mike Holmgren were the coach or Andy Reid were the coach?
Oh, absolutely. Kittle, absolutely. And I would think I could get the ball more as well. Although, Iggy, I want to say, I don't think Ayuk is really in football shape yet.
I agree. I don't think he's quite. He's not the guy. You want to throw it to him sometimes, but Kittle's a better player right now, and I think Jennings is too.
I would say Jennings. That's the one that's really interesting. I think Jennings is too. You know, Jennings is not really that fast. He's a tough guy, Iggy, and he has great hands.
Yeah, and he's big.
He's big?
He's big. 6'3". He's big. So what he does is he'll line up in the slot, and he'll run maybe 7 yards down the field, and they'll call it a two-way go. He could go in or out. And based on how the corner's playing him, say the corner's playing him like to one side, he can just break to the other side. And it's almost like he's unguardable on those little flat routes in and out. He's really good. And he can do more than that.
Speaking of guarding a wide receiver, when Jefferson made that electrifying 97-yard TD catch and run, did Kyle or Sorensen have cornerbacks on him?
No. Safeties. And no one talked about that, but that was really egregious.
I love egregious. That's a College Board word.
I love that word. Egregious.
I love it. Egregious.
It's egregious.
I don't know where it comes from, but man, you're such an egregious person. So what is wrong with having safeties and not corners on the best wide receiver, maybe of the generation?
I mean, the thing, football is a game of matchups. And even if you put Chavarius Ward on Justin Jefferson, that's a great matchup for the Vikings because Justin Jefferson's the best and Chavarius Ward is one of the best. So any matchup is an advantage Minnesota. But once you take a cornerback out of the equation and put a safety on him, like George Odin wouldn't really be expected to cover any wide receiver, let alone the best one in the freaking world. So just because you put a safety over the top and said you got help, well, that doesn't matter. And also the safety over the top, he did a terrible job too. How do you let that guy get past you? You're like a 30-yard head start.
Yeah.
How did he get past you?
Yeah.
Sorry. So yeah, that was a bad call. And the rookie defensive coordinator, yikes. If Steve Wilks had done that, we wouldn't have heard the end of it.
No, they would have put him out of the box, onto the field, into the gardening shed.
Yeah.
They would have put him in a shed.
Yeah, he would have been on double secret probation.
Double secret probation. He would have, right?
Oh, my God. He would have had to give a public apology.
Oh, God. Nick Sorensen. Oh, well, we'll see. I mean,
what do you think he's... I mean, this is going to be the first tough press conference for him on Thursday. People are going to be nice, but they're going to say, hey, Nick, George Odom on Justin Jefferson. What were you thinking there? Is he going to say, I want to focus on the next game, or is he going to actually answer the question?
I never met the guy, so I can't say.
Steve Wilks answered the question. So we'll see.
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah, got to answer the question. But yeah, the Niners, look, the Cardinals won 41-10. I'm not saying the Niners have to win 42-10, but I would expect the Niners to beat the Rams convincingly. It's like a home game for them down there.
Okay, let's move on to that topic. Will they beat the Rams?
I would think so.
Okay, talk to me.
I would think so. I mean, look, maybe the Cardinals are way better than the Niners and we just don't understand it yet, but assuming they're not, it looks like there are big problems with the Rams. They're so injured And they're almost like a JV team right now. So I think this is exactly when you want to play them. Yes, I think they should win. They're missing offensive linemen, wide receivers, tight end. And their defense sucks. It's the worst defense in the league statistically.
That doesn't bode well for the Los Angeles.
Bode wise.
Yeah. Okay.
It'll be one of those games that the Niners win by 10 or 13, and then Sean McVay is going to be running around in the field afterward, pumping his fist, saying, "This was a great loss for us. We really got something going here."
Yeah, there's no such thing as a good loss. He's a bit of a bullshit artist. We know that, right? But he may be a good coach, but there's no such thing as a good loss. There isn't, by definition.
No.
I'm going to make a case. Let me, just for the sake of looking at both sides of an argument, let me try to make a case that maybe the game isn't a gimme like you think and like I think. I think the game's a gimme. One of the reasons, put aside the all the injuries, but I know they count, but I'm trying to do this. One of the reasons we think the Niners are going to kill the Rams is because the Cardinals killed them. And the Cardinals killed them. So let's say that the Cardinals presented certain problems for the Rams. The Niners don't present those same problems. The way I look at it, and we've talked about it your whole life, every Sunday, every weekend in NFL is a different universe. Just because the Cardinals killed them doesn't mean, therefore, the Niners will kill them. One of the reasons the Cardinals killed them is they had a mobile quarterback who looked like Russell Wilson Young. He really reminded me of why I loved Russell Wilson so much. He could get away from all kinds of zigzagging in the backfield from pressure. And then he has a gun, Iggy.
I still maintain that I'd rather have Kyler than Lamar Jackson. I'm sorry. Kyler, when he's on, that was the best game I've ever seen from him. And when he's on, he's the most fun athlete to watch in the NFL. And the fact that he's 5'8" kind of adds to it.
I'm 5'7" and a half. He's only 5'8"?
He's not tall. He may be 5'8", 5'9". He's a little fella, but he's damn good.
I'd rather have him than Lamar Jackson. It's not even a discussion with me.
He's a cannon.
Oh, so what I want to say is Purdy can't do those things. No. Purdy can do things that Kyler can't do. I think he has inside short and medium passes. He's better.
Agreed.
But I don't think the Niners will be posing those sorts of problems to the Rams. What else? Okay. I'm trying to figure out other things.
I got something. Okay, so
give
look.
It to me.
The Vikings, Justin Jefferson had that great play, but then he got hurt and he missed the entire fourth quarter. And with the game on the line, I think the Vikings had the ball up 6. And they drove the entire length of the field with no Justin Jefferson, no Jordan Addison, that's their number two receiver, no TJ Hockenson, that's their starting tight end, drove the whole field and kicked a field goal. So if good coaching can do that to the 49ers, then what can good coaching? I mean, Kevin O'Connell coached under McVay. So it's pretty much just like the Midwest version of the Rams over there. If what can McVay and Stafford do under similar circumstances? Like, you're missing wide receivers, okay, but you can scheme it up, right? I mean, you're going against Nick Sorensen, who has a lot to prove.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, I think the Niners will win. I don't think they're going to win like the Cardinals won. I think it'll be a game well into the third quarter. Do I think the Rams will win? No. But I've been around long enough to know if the Rams win, I wouldn't be surprised, because every Sunday is a different universe.
Right.
That's how
I feel.
They're
champions and they have pride and they're not going to lay down 2 weeks in a row.
No. And if they lose, they're 0-3. And that's a big motivator, because if you go 0-3 to start a season, you may be out of it right then and there.
Yeah. 0-2, you're already on the ropes statistically.
Yeah, I think so. 0-3, you're out of the ring, on the ring apron.
Yeah. So Kevin O'Connell just showed Sean McVay a blueprint of what to do against Nick Sorensen. It worked for the Vikings and Sam Darnold. It could work for the Rams and Matthew Stafford. And just because those two starters are hurt doesn't mean they don't have other wide receivers. It seemed like all the Vikings had to do to get a guy open was do a little bunch formation where you put the three guys kind of in a triangle on one side.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Side and they just run an out route and no one will be covering the guy. It seems like, I don't know, maybe the Niners are not in midseason form yet.
Sorensen couldn't figure that out, what to do against it.
Over and over and over again. It worked.
And Iggy, there are strategies against that, right?
There absolutely are, but it's like the whole idea is it's tough to play man-to-man coverage against that because you can get the corners to run into each other. So you have to sort of like match up after they all release into their routes and you practice it. There's rules. So I don't know.
You practice it.
There's rules.
You have a plan, and you have a plan, and you practice.
If you have a plan, you practice it. Look, another reason the Niners this could be a game is because we know Sean McVay wants to run the ball. All these Shanahan disciples want to run the ball if they can, and the Niners defense right now isn't. I mean, like you said, they made Ty Chandler look really good. Did you know that was his name, Ty Chandler?
Iggy, I didn't know. I was watching on TV. I didn't even know his name because I often watch with the sound off because I hate to hear those guys. But I kept seeing this running back, so I turned the sound on just to learn his name. And he looked great, right?
I think he averaged 8 yards a carry against the Niners.
Yeah, and he whenever they would give him the ball, they'd toss on a toss, and he'd go around. He was so much faster than everybody. He was like Bo Jackson.
He's really good. He was like Bo Jackson. Can we say one more thing about what was disconcerting about the loss to the Vikings, even though it was just one loss? It could have been worse. Fred Warner with that play at the goal line saved at least 3 points, maybe seven. So just wanted to point that out. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fred Warner is a great player.
Hall of Famer?
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
I mean, I don't see... Who's a better middle linebacker in the league than he is? I mean, he is really something. And he always seems around the ball.
Let me read you his stats through two games. Okay. 16 tackles. 1 sack. 1 tackle for loss. 1 quarterback hit. 1 sack. 3 forced fumbles. 2 pass breakups and an interception. He's an wonderful. Entire defense on his own.
He's just wonderful. And from what I understand from people who know him and have talked to me, he is a really good guy. He is a really good guy in the locker room. He's the teammate you want to have. And this I have from the highest authority.
He's the leader of the team. More than Purdy, more than Bosa, more than Kittle. He's the leader of the team. He's the quarterback of the defense. He carries himself like a coach. He's probably the best player on the team. Fred Warner.
Iggy, Bosa, I don't like what he does with his hands and his Nick and his brother Joey, that thing.
They have the same celebration, the same number. It's a little, have some individuality, guys. No, but we get it. Also, your dad was in the league and you want to honor him. But like, same thing with the Currys, and it's Seth and Steph both do their own thing sometimes.
But I don't like the hands. It looks like a clown. It looks like something that clown at Barnum and Bailey would do. And also when you sack a guy, have a little modesty, because when they're running the ball up your nose and you're not doing anything about it, or when you're going in to get the running back and the play goes around you, Iggy, that happened several times against the Vikings. He took himself out of the play. Stop with the hands.
I'm going to name people on the Niners. You tell me if you think they're future Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Fred Warner.
Yes.
George Kittle.
God, yes.
God, yes. Brandon Ayuk.
No.
Nick Bosa.
Okay. I think he'll probably make it, but if I were a voter, I wouldn't vote him in.
I'm not sure. I don't think he's in yet. I think he's got more to prove.
Okay.
Debo.
No.
Trent Williams.
Yes.
Okay. I agree with those. Let's move on. Let's take some super chats. That was a fun game. Wave 9 says, you liked that? Last night made my Monday. Did you watch the game last night? What'd you think? What'd you think? Falcons, Eagles.
Yeah, that was where Kirk Cousins actually won a tough game.
Yeah, he had a great little drive at the end.
Yeah, it was. I watched that game. I was waiting for you to land. Anyway, yeah. He came in very late last night. I thought it was a great game. Can I say something about Philly?
Mm-hmm.
Iggy, I don't like their quarterback.
Me neither.
I don't. Now, he's a good runner. He's like Kaepernick. He runs a lot because he doesn't know what else to do.
If you didn't allow him to run, if you said, Hurts, no running, just play quarterback from the pocket, he'd be one of the worst quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, I just don't like him. I don't think he's a winning quarterback. I mean, he'll win a lot of games, but I don't think he's going to win a Super Bowl. He's very good running to the right and throwing on the run. He can do that very well, but he can't do it going to the left. He's not a good pocket passer. No, and Kirk Cousins, who I'm not even sure he's a winner either, but is a better quarterback than he is. He's a better quarterback.
Who's a better quarterback, Jalen Hurts or Kyler Murray?
Oh, Kyler Murray. Let me say, as much as I dislike Hurts' game, I'm in love with what Kyler Murray does.
Me too. I think I'm his biggest fan.
Yeah, I almost wish I could see all of their games because...
Me too. And the thing about Kyler Murray is like, no one talks about him because no one gives a shit about the Cardinals. Sorry. No one gives a shit about him. If he were the starting quarterback for the 49ers or the Cowboys or the Steelers or the Packers, he would be such a freaking celebrity.
Right. Oh, he's phenomenal.
Such a celebrity.
Yeah.
But he's not, which is interesting. Only Shardall can save this team, says Ricky Rich 209. Stephen Draper says Niners have no free safety, just box safeties. Real problem. Well, let's see what happens when Talanoa Funga gets back. I know he's not a free safety. Sir Cash Money says, hey, Cones, what are your thoughts on the nerfs made to Radon? Does it make him too easy to fix his hitboxes? Keep up the good work. I don't know what you're talking about.
Iggy, this is another language for me.
I'm sorry. I have no idea what you mean. Gold Rush says, thank you, Lowell, for being a class act. Wish there was more content with you.
Well, thank you so much, Gold Rush. I think once a week is about enough for an old guy like me.
Brody Nigel says, no one is talking about in the Vikings games when the Niners got their last touchdown to go for two so that if the Vikings get a field goal, it is still a one possession game. No one is talking about that. Thank you, Brody, for broaching the subject. It's a good point. Fish and Chip says, is a Fisher beginning in Santa Clara the end close? That might be the reaction after one loss.
I think this is their last season where you could say they have a Super Bowl window. And I don't think the window is as big as last season. I think that's obvious because they have people hurt. I think it's obvious.
And it's like with Debo and Christian, it's like, is it just a freak injury? And are you guys going to eventually be the players you were last year? Or is this the next chapter in your career?
Yeah. And again, for me, I look at most sports like baseball with the players, and I don't think the managers are really that important. In football, I look at it as players and head coach. The head coach is so important because so much of it is what the game plan is. How it's a battle of wits if you're Kyle Shanahan. Not if you're for Kyle Shanahan against the defensive coordinator. That is as much a part of the game as throwing the ball.
Yes.
Running the ball.
Yes.
I feel that this season, based on the way it's starting, is the biggest test of Shanahan. Iggy, if he can pass the test and have a really good season, fine. If not, if he succumbs, I would have fired him already. But if he has a mediocre season, fire him.
I agree, or trade him, or whatever. I mean, I understand this season is definitely a test for Brock Purdy because he's in a contract year, and you have to decide what exactly are you worth. Sure, there's a lot at stake there, but Kyle is much more: are you in or you out? Not what is your value? Brock's
what
in.
Is your value? Yeah,
Brock's in. Yes. Is Kyle? And it was interesting. I put out a poll. This is very scientific. I put out a poll on Twitter. Have you lost confidence? Are you losing confidence in Brock Purdy? Are you losing confidence in Kyle Shanahan? Kyle Shanahan, 43.6% of people said yes, they're losing confidence in him. With Purdy, only 20% of people said they're losing confidence in him. Now, these are people who follow me on Twitter, but it feels like Kyle's becoming a little controversial, whereas fans still essentially support Brock.
I agree with that, the results of that poll.
Yeah, I agree with it too.
Yeah,
that's how I would look at it too. All right, Dad, let's make some sleeper picks because this is the sleeper show. So they don't have the Niners yet, but they do have Arizona, who's playing Detroit next week in Arizona. That's going to be an interesting game. Detroit just coming off a loss. They're 1-1 as well. Kyler, 234.5 passing yards, more or fewer? He had 266 last week.
More. Yep.
Against Detroit. Jared Goff, 270 passing yards, more or less. He had 307 last game.
Here's the thing. He will have more because they haven't passed so often on that team.
It's a shrewd pick, Dad. That's your quintessential sleeper pick right there. Right there. Marvin Harrison Jr. can't do him. Jahmyr Gibbs, they're one of their talented running backs. 56.5 rushing yards. He had 84 last game.
More.
Okay, that's enough from this game. Let's go to Seattle for fun. Geno, 231.5 against Miami. That team's screwed, and their defense is terrible. And he had 327 a few days ago.
Even so, I'm saying fewer. Geno.
Poor Geno. Let's see if we get one more. Tampa. Baker Mayfield having a great year. 249.5 passing yards against the terrible Denver Broncos.
More. Baker Mayfield is a great story, Iggy.
He is a great
story. As soon as he stopped living in the stadium, I think his game improved. Remember when he used to live in the stadium?
That was just the core. And they kept doing that ad forever. Oh, he lost his keys. Derek Carr, 222.5 passing yards against Philly at home. Went for 243 last week.
No, fewer.
Fewer?
Okay. Fewer.
Fewer. Flexin. These are the picks that we're making. Submitting the entry. You wanna play? Download the sleeper app. Use promo code Cone. And if you do use the promo code Cone, you instantly get entered to win a signed Ricky Pearsall jersey, which just might be the coolest jersey you could have. I'm just saying. Use promo code Cone, download the sleeper app. Dad, let's rank the teams in the NFC West. Technically, here is how they lay out in the division after two games. First place, Seahawks 2-0. Second place, the Cardinals with an overall net point differential of plus 25. Third place, the Niners, the overall point differential of plus 7, and fourth place, the Rams 0-2, point differential of negative 37 through two games. How would you rank those teams?
From the bottom up?
Yeah.
Starting the season, I would have had the Rams way high.
Yep.
Way high, maybe even number one. But I'd have to say, given how they performed and all the injuries they have, they're the fourth team. Bottom team. How about you?
They look like a shot fighter with the glass jaw.
They sure do. They do.
Oh, Cooper Kupp's hurt again? Wow.
Yeah. They do.
Yeah. I would have to say so, Dad. They got no defense as well.
Okay.
Rams last.
Number three, and this may be controversial after two games, Seattle.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. Like they're 2-0, but who have they beaten? They've beaten Denver and New England. Is that correct? I believe that's correct. So that's not, and they haven't beaten them by much either. Let me just make sure I got that right. They won week one against Denver 26-20, and then they beat New England in overtime on the road 23-20.
Geno Smith is not a winning quarterback. He'll win games, but he's not a big time winner.
He's a game manager. At best.
I don't like his work, Iggy. I just don't like his work.
He plays with very little confidence. His quarterback rating is 97, completing 73% of his throws. You could do worse, but yeah, he's not. I don't see him ever beating the 49ers, like ever in his life. Maybe
that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Who's a better quarterback, Geno Smith or Sam Darnold? It's a brain buster, right?
They're about that. That's Geno. That they're sort of in the same range, I would have to say.
Okay.
All six right. One, half dozen the other. Would you prefer Darnold?
I'd prefer neither one.
Yeah. Fair enough. Like, yeah, okay. It's the quarterback you don't want to have. Darnold, Geno. Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. Okay.
Here is, for me, number two. I'd put the Cardinals number two with tremendous potential. But it's only two games in the season. They have been already beaten once, right? They're 1-1.
Mm-hmm. But they lost to Buffalo. It's a pretty good team.
Indeed it is. That's a good point. Yeah. Anyway, I would say they're number two, but they're coming on.
I would agree.
And obviously that puts the Niners number one, but the Cardinals are closing the gap, and the Niners may be allowing them to close the gap if they continue to play the way they played last Sunday.
Yeah. What's interesting about the Cardinals and the Seahawks, the Rams are a disaster right now, but the Seahawks seem like they have a really good defense. Well, they haven't played a really good offense yet to test it, but that could be tough. And then the Cardinals seem like they have a really good offense. A really good offense. Yeah.
And really exciting.
And the kind of offense that gives the Niners trouble because the quarterback can get out of the pocket and scramble around. And I mean, Sam Darnold did that to them a few days ago.
I want to tell you a funny thing, which I haven't told you. You know, one of my best friends is my friend Glenn. We met in 1968. We went to Stanford together. He lives, as you know, in Scottsdale. So he was really excited after the Cardinals beat the Rams. So I don't follow the Cardinals. So I said to him, what's the name of the Cardinals coach? He's a Cardinals fan. He said, I don't know.
Wow.
He knew the quarterback. But he didn't know the kid. I don't know the coach's name.
That's fair. I mean, he's not famous. He's Jonathan Gannon, who was the defensive coordinator with the Eagles for a while. The offensive coordinator is a guy named Drew Petzing, who was an assistant with the Browns for a while. I think he was one of these guys who learned from Gary Kubiak, who has mentored like half the offensive coordinators in the league right now. So they went from having Cliff Kingsbury, who's ridiculous. He wasn't even good in college, but he was running like a high school college offense. And now you have a standard to an above average offensive coordinator, and looks pretty good. And you have Marvin Harrison's kid, who's pretty good too. That's a big addition.
That kid is terrific. So was Marvin Harrison.
Yes. So all of a sudden, that team looks really fast. Or like the Niners are good, but they're not fast. Jordan Mason isn't fast. Ayuk isn't fast. Debo's hurt. Christian's hurt. Jacob Cowing is fast. They could use him.
The Niners are clever and methodical.
Yes, they are.
Clever and methodical.
Take their time between plays. They do all those motions. Yep.
Yeah.
It's true. Clever and methodical. I agree.
Did you like those adjectives?
You are good with words. Did you? Anyone ever tell you that?
Maybe I should have been a writer.
You often pick the right one, and I respect that because it's not easy. The Gold Rush 561 says thoughts about our new DC compared to Wilkes.
Very early to say, but if you want my gut feeling, Wilkes is a better defensive coordinator. This guy seems in over his head. I'm sorry.
Because with Wilkes, it was like, well, he's not bad. He's just deficient in certain areas where this defense should be good. So we have to get someone else who can clearly upgrade those things. And so far, those things have gotten worse. Run defense, third down defense, gotten worse. Just two games, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Nick Sorensen, like Steve Wilkes came from his own tree. I mean, he does his own thing. Sorensen was an assistant coach with Robert Saleh back in Seattle for a long time. So this is, again, tapping into that Pete Carroll tradition and scheme, which the Seahawks don't even run anymore. They moved on. They're like, you know what? We held on to this for a long time. It is so passe. We're going to bring in a guy from the Ravens. Pete, you can be an ambassador to the team. Thank you very much. And the Niners are like, no. We want that. And what's funny about it is it's like the principles of the Pete Carroll defense was so cutting edge for a while was rush four, don't blitz, play zone, hang back, don't give up any long plays, very few coverages. Now that stuff doesn't work so much. And what works is blitz a lot. That's what Brian Flores did. Bring a ton of pressure, play man-to-man coverage. So just wanted to point that out. Maybe that's what Brandon Staley will help the Niners do soon.
Yeah, I'd like to know what his role is. What did he bring to the loss?
Can we talk to him? Mufasa says, what has Purdy accomplished that Jimmy didn't?
That's a very good question.
They both lost in the Super Bowl.
In a Super Bowl, yeah.
Yeah. I guess Purdy's, you know, he was in the MVP voting and his numbers were better, but his team was better too. He had Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Gold Rush says, BA got paid. Does he no longer care?
I wouldn't have any way of knowing. And Iggy, I don't think you do either.
My guess is he does. Okay, let's rank the teams in the NFC. The Niners lost this weekend, but so did the Lions. So did the Eagles. It's unclear if there's a dominant team in this conference. How would you, let me just remind people of who's undefeated in the NFC. New Orleans is 2-0. They've kicked the crap out of a couple of teams, including Dallas. They beat the crap out of Dallas this weekend. Minnesota 2-0 beat the Niners. Seattle 2-0. Tampa Bay 2-0. They beat Detroit this weekend. And then you got Atlanta 1-1, Arizona 1-1, Washington 1-1, Philly 1-1, Detroit 1-1, Chicago 1-1, Dallas 1-1, Green Bay 1-1, Niners 1-1. And Carolina, the Giants and Rams, 0-2 each. Those teams are great. How would you rank these the best teams in the NFC?
Okay, should we try to go from like number 5 to number 1 or start with the best team?
Maybe start with the best team. Might be hard to start right at 5.
Okay, hold on. I would say, oh boy, this Iggy, this is tough.
It is tough.
I mean, starting the season, I would have included the Niners, the Rams, and the Lions.
Yeah.
And Philly.
Yeah.
I would have included all of them. Things have changed a little bit.
Not impressed with Philly. Saquon Barkley is a good running back, but they're not going to run their way to the freaking NFC Championship game.
Okay. I would have to say today, I'm still putting the Niners at number one, but shaky.
Sure.
I'm putting them at number one, but shaky. Do you agree?
I do agree because the other teams that are like New Orleans is a good story. It's hard to put the Niners over the Vikings right now. But yeah, I would have to say so because of all they've done the last 5 years. The Vikings have been good for 2 weeks. The Saints have been good for 2 weeks.
And also, when we saw the Niners and the Vikings head to head. I think it's possible the Niners can beat more teams than the Vikings can beat.
And if they were to play at Levi's, it's possible the Niners would win that game.
Yeah, it's just one game. And it's what Kyle said. It's just football. Yeah. And I thought that was a good thing he said. It's just football. We lost the game. Now we got to move on. We got to learn from it. I thought that was good what he said. It was actually an answer to you, Iggy, right?
It was, yes.
Okay, so I'm still putting the Niners number one, but because they're 1-1 and because they really didn't play very well on Sunday, it's shaky. Now, number two is tough. So not Philly. I'm not the Lions, Iggy.
No.
I don't like that.
Jared Goff is just not good enough. He's a moving platform.
That's what Bill would have called him.
A moving platform. He just can't move.
And Iggy, I'm not convinced about Atlanta.
No. I'm not enthusiastic about them. Number two, I would say it's either right now Tampa or New Orleans.
Okay, because you won't say Minnesota because they have that quarterback. So you know what?
Yeah. Okay. It's Geno. It's Midwest Geno.
Okay. Tampa or New Orleans? I'm going to say Tampa.
Baker. He's better than Derek Carr.
I think so.
Yeah, I agree. And that coach is pretty good. He won a Super Bowl.
Ah.
Todd Bowles. That team has the they're champions.
Yeah, they are. So I'm going to go with Tampa.
Tampa. Niners play Tampa this year in Tampa.
Oh, boy. That'll be very interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, number three. Iggy, New Orleans. I'm going to put the Lions above New Orleans. I'm going to put the Lions at number three. I'd have to see more from that quarterback in New Orleans and that head coach who was here with the Raiders and I thought was a walking zombie.
The story so far, it seems to be that the big difference with the Saints is that they got Kubiak's son from the Niners. So far, he's their offensive coordinator. He's doing a good job.
Okay, we'll see.
So we'll see. We'll see.
So I would put the Lions at number three. New Orleans at number four. Philly at number five.
What about the Vikings?
Their quarterback is Sam Darnold.
Yeah, but the Philly's quarterback is Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. Okay. You know
I'm down on Jalen Hurts.
Okay. I'll go with the Minnesota for number
And where's
five.
Arizona factoring in?
Ah, they're the wild card.
What about them? You can't sleep on them.
No, you can't. Okay. Hold on.
It's a tough exercise.
It's a tough one.
A tough one.
Who would we bump out of that group for Arizona? Could be Minnesota, or it could be New Orleans.
It's a tough one, man.
I'd bump out New Orleans.
Bump out New Orleans. You think they're fugazi?
I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure about them. The head coach and the quarterback. They're not winners.
No. All of a sudden, Derek Carr figures it out at 33 years old.
Yeah, and the thing about Minnesota is they are so well coached, Diggy.
Yeah,
they were able to get the most out of Sam Darnold and to disguise his inefficiencies.
How many teams are better coached than the Vikings? One.
Well, Kansas City is really well coached.
Uh huh.
I can't say based on Sunday the Niners are better coached.
No,
I can't say that.
Yes, yeah. Vikings are a very interesting team. They're offense and defense. They're really well coached. Cutting edge.
So. I used to think Philly was well coached, but not anymore.
No, Vic now, Fangio. What the fuck? Sorry. When Fred was here, when he was staying with you, we would watch these games, and he was. I don't understand why defensive coaches who are having success throughout the game just throw it all away and do something entirely different because there's 2 minutes left on the clock. Why would you do that? And then Fangio did it.
Fangio's like that.
He did it last night. He went full prevent and lost.
Do you think Fangio, maybe his day is over?
Yes.
I agree. Nice man. Did a very good job for Harbaugh here, but his day is done.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And it shows that the Philly was a little desperate to get him.
Yes, they were.
That the idea they got him showed they're desperate.
Yeah, and if that doesn't work for Philly this year, they all could be out.
Yeah, they all could be out.
Jayzo K says, every F-bomb about Niners BS adds a year to my life.
Oi.
I got to put a dollar in the curse jar. Sorry. Herbie Holland, $20. I think the Niners need a championship-level defense and defensive coordinator. As much as we love Joe Montana, Steve Young, and Jerry Rice, it was their defense to me that won them championships.
You know, there's a lot of truth, Herbie, to what you just said. They had great defensive teams and great defensive coordinators.
1981 49ers. Let's get some stats up. Their defense ranked number two. Their offense ranked number 13. That's the first Super Bowl. So absolutely. 84, defense ranks number one, offense ranks number two.
Cool.
Let's go to 88. 88. Seifert. Okay. 88, defense three, offense two. Wow, what a team. 89, defense 4, offense 1. So it was a pretty well-rounded team.
Kind of. And you could see why they talked about their standard, Iggy. They had a standard.
They had a freaking standard.
And part of their standard was every day in practice, Bill Walsh practiced finishing. Finish the drill. Finish. He knew, his teams knew how to finish. Kyle's teams don't know how to finish. That's a big difference, Iggy.
I think a lot of people watching this show might be too young to know this, but can you tell people how Jerry Rice would finish reps in practice?
Well, wouldn't he run into the end zone?
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time. Got to finish.
He practiced finishing.
Anyway, that's the show. Thank you for watching the Cone Zone. Make sure you like the subscribe to the channel and like the show and download the Sleeper app and use promo code Cone and get a Ricky Pierce all signed jersey. Dad, I love you.
I love you, Iggy. This was a lot of fun today.
I'll talk to you soon. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.